Anyway, so today, first of all, I want to show you this. I've mentioned him before, but I borrowed it from the school. This is, you know, Alex Israel's book on Malachim, which is which is very nicely done. But he makes it, just to make one point from last week.
Is he a religious?
Yeah. Yeah, Alex Israel, yeah, he lives in Olam Shvut. He's like that.
Another one.
That chavri, yeah. Yeah. He teaches in Eretz Tzvi in Pardes, I think. I don't know. So one of the things that he just notes here that's fascinating is the, you know, we'd mentioned last week, we'd ended off with the battle between Asa and Baasha, and that their war had been specifically instigated, or Asa had brought in the foreign power when they started building a wall between the northern and the southern kingdom, right? This wall to stop the people from flowing in. Now, what's interesting though is that wall is in Ramah, and if you look in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Mem Aleph in Yirmiyahu, second, let me get it. Yirmiyahu. When Yirmiyahu is describing the end, the end of Jewish sovereignty in Israel, and he talks about the assassination of Gedaliah, like really the end. So Yirmiyahu describes it, and he writes as
Gedaliah, the one we said.
That we fast for. Yeah, Gedaliah ben Achikam, like the last Jewish leader, like mamish the end. So when he's assassinated, Yirmiyahu says, V'habor asher shlich sham Yishmael et kol pigran Hashem ashi ikab b'gad Gedaliahu. What pit did he throw him in? Right, the pit that Yishmael threw all the corpses that had been killed. Hu asher asa hamelch asa mipnei basha melch Yisrael. It's that same pit that Asa had made because of Baasha, Otomi le Yishmael ben Netanel Chalim. That was the one that he filled with corpses. And Yirmiyahu, right, seems to be grouping them, right? This was sort of the end, right? That once Asa had brought in the foreign power to fight Baasha, that led to the civil war, right? The culture of civil war. That was the first civil war, right? Where you brought in foreign powers and there was this intrigue really within the kind of, I don't know if the first, but it was sort of a major step backwards, I guess. And the Navi seems to be connecting them and saying, yeah, that led to this, that eventually, right, once you had that animosity, that sort of culture led to what brought down the kingdom, both kingdoms, right? Not just but the Malchut Yisrael, but eventually brought down Malchut Yehuda as well. And then he notes
even
here...
Even though that's just the beginning.
What?
This is actually just the beginning.
It's just the beginning, right. But the Navi connects them, right? You know, and he says it's that same one. He seems to be trying to make a, you know, sort of conceptual connection, right? That attitude, even though, yeah, it's hundreds of years away, but he's tying you to it. And in the footnote, he notes that this puts a different perspective on the famous pasuk of Rachel, right? That kol berama nishma, we tend to think of it as comfort. But right, he notes that if this is the case, that you know, it's Rachel's right tefillah is coming right even from Ramah, where her sons are fighting, because it's Binyamin is allied with Yehuda, right? And and Malchut Yisrael is always is Ephraim, right? So it's not just any place; it's even the symbolic place where her own sons are fighting.
Yehuda?
What?
What's the kesher between Binyamin?
Her two children, right? Because Binyamin is with Yehuda, right? Binyamin is right. Yehuda has one shevet with him as Binyamin, right? And that was the irony. And then Malchut Yisrael is always Yoshua, right? Sorry, not Yoshua, is Ephraim, right? So even though there's civil war, even between her two children, right? Malchut Yehuda and their ally, which is Binyamin, versus Baasha, which is Malchut Yisrael, which is Ephraim, right? You know, that's where her voice comes from. Even though that's sort of the root of the sin and the fighting between her children, her voice will still manage to save it, right? It sort of draws that out. Okay, so that's where we'd left off with the with Asa, so let's go back. We were in Perek Tet Vav. So after, I think we had, did we finish Tet Vav or we stopped? We didn't, right? We stopped at Chaf Hei, right, at Nadav.
Yes.
Right, so we finish Asa. So in the middle of the parak, we pick up with his son, with, not his son, I mean, Malchut Yisrael. So before Basha, right, there's this chaos, because, right, while Malchut Yehuda is stable, Malchut Yisrael is not. And you get in Nadav ben Yeravam Malach al Yisrael b'shnat shtayim la'asa melech Yehuda v'imloch Yisrael shnatayim. So Yeravam's son, Nadav, is only king for 2 years, which may not even be a full 2 years, right? It could be a year and a little bit, it could be a few months, depending on when he begins becoming king. And he does what's evil in God's eyes, and he follows the ways of Yeravam. Vayikshor alav basha ben achiyah levet yisachar, vayakehu basha begibton asher leplishtim, vanadav v'chol Yisrael tzarim al gibton. So Basha, from Shevet Yisachar, conspires against him, and he kills him in Givaton of the Plishtim, while Nadav was laying siege. Right, it's a terrible move. Right, it's the king is out trying to defend the Jewish people, and he kills him. Right, he goes and instead of helping him in war, he kills him. Vayimeteu Basha b'shnat shalosh la'asamel chudamim loch tachtav, and he kills him. It's the third year of Asa's rulership, and then Basha becomes king. Vayhi kimolcho ikad kol beit Yeravam lo ishir kol neshama liyeravam ad hishmido kedvar Adonai asher diber biyad avdo achia shiloni, and he kills every person. He doesn't leave a single person alive in Yeravam's family, like Achia had prophesied. Al chatot Yeravam asher chatav asher achdid Yisrael b'chaso asher achisa noyel ha'Yisrael, because of the anger that God had against Yeravam for having sinned. And again, you know, as we've pointed out sort of many times throughout the book, that consistently there's two levels to every story, right? There's the proximate human motive where Basha just wants to be king, right? He's not rebelling against Nadav for altruistic reasons. He wants to be king. And then there's the divine reason, right? So God said, I allowed, right, Basha to do this, right? Basha did it for whatever reason he did it. But the reason God allows it and pushes the arc of history in that direction is because that's what he told Achia he would do. And everything else he did is written in the records. And Asa and Basha fight their whole days. And as we mentioned, in the third year of Asa, so Basha becomes king for 24 years. And he follows the ways of Yeravam. Now this highlights what we'll see in a minute, is that, you know, even though Hashem wanted Yeravam to be killed and to be replaced, ideally that should have been someone who didn't sin exactly like Yeravam. But Basha, again, isn't doing this altruistically, he's doing it because he wants to be king. And therefore, even though he's replacing Yeravam, he does exactly what Yeravam does, which the Navi draws attention to, which is obviously, you know, makes it illegitimate for him to be king. And that's how Perek Tet Zayin opens. That Vayhi Dvar Adonai Yehu ben Hanani al Basha Limor. And the Mefarshim will note this, right? That, you know, this happens a lot, right? It happens also by the Yetziat Mitzrayim story, right? Hashem tells Avram that there will be a nation that will enslave his children, and then we punish the Mitzrayim anyways. And all the Mefarshim want to know why. But the simplest understanding is, but just because God predicts it doesn't mean that the person who does it, especially if they're not doing it in order to fulfill God's prophecy, isn't going to be punished. And here, right, Basha, again, isn't doing it for the right reasons. And even if he were, once you follow in the ways of Yeravam, you don't have the right to fight Yeravam, right? The only reason Yeravam is losing his kingship is because he sinned. If you are going to act exactly like him, you don't get to be king. So that's what God tells him. Yana sherharimoticha min ha'afar ve'etnecha nagid al Yisrael, al mi Yisrael, v'atelech b'derech Yeravam v'tachatir mi Yisrael achiseini v'chatotam. Because I lifted you from the dust, I made you a ruler over the Jewish people, but you followed Yeravam and caused my people to sin, and you made me angry with the sins. So I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to destroy you the exact same way I promised about Yeravam. I gave you a chance, And forget it, you're doing the same as your avam, so your end will be the same as your avam. Hamit levasha ba'ir yochlu aklavim, v'hamit lo vasadeh yochlu afashamayim. Any person who dies from your house, who happens to be in the city, his body, his corpse will be eaten by the dogs, and anyone who dies in the field will be eaten by the birds. V'yeter divrei ba'asha, v'asher asav gurato aleim k'tuvim, al sefer divrei amim l'malchi Yisrael, and everything else Ba'asha does is written in the Chronicles.
But he was a kibbutz.
Well, yeah, and you know, he is, right? He is. He's a powerful, you know, I mean, Asa is stronger than him, right? But he's... I take that back. Asa is not stronger than him. Ba'asha is presumably stronger than Asa. That's why Asa needs to bring in a foreign power, right? I mean, right? He needs a foreign power to beat him. He's clearly a powerful force. Asa may be more politically savvy, and therefore he brings in, you know, mercenaries and manages to win. But despite that, Ba'asha is a powerful force. Now, Ba'asha dies. And then his son, Elah, takes over as king. But, but the word of Hashem had come to the Navi, right, again to Yehu, that he would, his family would be like Yeravam. What happens? So Bishnat Ishrim Vashesh Shana Lasa Melch Yuda Malach Elav and Vashal Israel Bitirtashna Time. So Elah only becomes king for 2 years. Now, right, again, this is one of the weird things, right, that the Melachim constantly will downplay, right, bad people. It downplays the good that happens to them. But the truth is, right, if you think about it from a naturalistic perspective, not from a Melachim perspective, Ba'asha has a great life because he dies naturally, right? He lives out a long reign. The Navi frames it as if Ba'asha is going to be punished himself. It's not actually true. His son will. It's clearly a insult to his legacy, but in terms of his life, Ba'asha survives it. Ba'asha remains king for a significant period of time. But he, like Yeravam, doesn't manage to create a dynasty. So in the 26th year of Asa, in the second, after 2 years of Elah, the son of Basha's rule, Vayikshor alav avdo zimri sar machatzid harachav, v'hu b'tirtza, shotesh shikur b'et artza shalab b'yit tirtza. His servant Zimri was the commander of half the chariotry, right? He committed treason, While he was drunk, in the Beit Arza, and the person who was charged of Tirza, so Zimri comes in and he kills Elah the son of Ba'asha, and he becomes king. And he kills everybody. He leaves no male, again, right? That sort of crude language, right? Nor friend, nor anybody, nor relative, right? No goel, no relative. Vayashmid Zimri et kol beit Ba'asha, k'dvar Adonai, asher dibera Ba'asha, biyad Yehu anavi. So Zimri destroys the house of Ba'asha as Yehu said would happen. El kol chatot Ba'asha v'chatot Elav v'no asher chatu v'asher achdu et Yisrael achisad Adonai el Yisrael b'hav layem. For all the sins that Ba'asha had done and all that Elah had done to make God angry against against God, v'yeter divrei Elah v'chol asher asah lohim k'tuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael, and the rest of the events of his life are written in divrei hayamim. Now, in Yehuda, we've noted that there's a certain level of consistency of right to the dynasty, but here it's chaos, right? So you have Ba'asha, who has a decent length of a kingdom. But then Elah is 2 years, whatever that means. Zimri doesn't make it that far. He makes it all of 7 days, right? Which is Pasuk Tedvav. Right? I mean, it's chaos, right? Bishnat Yisrim V'sheva Shana La'asa Melch Yehuda. And honestly, if you ask me, this constant cross-referencing between Yehuda and Yisrael is meant to highlight the difference in their dynasties. That in the 24th year of Asa, right, in the 3rd year of Asa, Ba'asha became king. In the 24th year, Elah became king. In the 27th year of Asa, Zimri became king, right? It's, All this is happening while Asa has a steady, right, 40-plus year reign in Yehudah. But in the meantime, in the 27th year, he's king for 7 days while the troops are against are fighting the Plishtim. Vayishma ha'am achonim lemor kashar zimri v'gam hika et hamelech v'imlichol Yisrael amri sar tzaval Yisrael b'yomahu b'machaneh. So the army hears that while they were fighting the Plishtim, Zimri had a coup and killed the king in the capital city, in Tirzah. So the army, right, appoints their own king. Right, so there's a military coup against the political coup. Right, this is like, I mean, this is what you see in like Egypt now, right? It's like first there's a coup, and then there's a counter coup by the army, and then there's attempted counter coup, and that doesn't work. Right, this is what goes on. Vayale Omri v'chol Yisrael imo migibton vayetiru al Tirza. And right, the imagery is striking. Right, they were fighting Plishtim, but they just leave their enemies because now their enemies are themselves, right? They turn back. They were fighting the Plishtim. They turn back to their own capital because now they need to, right? Now their enemies are themselves, right? It's absolute chaos. Vayhi kirot zimri killing the kadahir vayvo el armon beit hamelch vayisrof alav et beit hamelch ba'esh vayamod. And he just commits suicide, right? He just gives up. He sees that he's lost. He's surrounded by the military. So he goes into the castle and he lights it on fire and he dies, right? He doesn't want to be killed or tried for treason. So he just commits suicide. And then, amazingly, right, Al Chatat Tot Chatatav Asher Chatat Lazar Rabbi Ne'adonai Lecha B'derech Yeravam Uvichatatav Asher Asal Achdid Yisrael. The Psukim accuse him of following Yeravam's ways. Right, he was king for all of 7 days, but apparently, and again, he was that. You know, I assume it doesn't just mean as king; it means that he always followed Yeravam's ways. It was just that he, right, he's not doing this for religious reasons. He's not a worthy king.
Do you think that they realized that all the troubles are because they didn't go in God's way?
No, I don't think they did.
Because otherwise, I think even stupid than what they sound.
Correct. Well, that's the thing, is right? Then, and this is, you know, what I think.
Allow people to understand what was going on there.
Yeah.
Exactly. These days, we don't realize.
Exactly, and that's, you know, Navi isn't trying to describe experiences as they experienced it. It's trying to give you perspective, and that's why, right, that's why I said before by Basha, right? The Psukim make it as if, oh, Basha sinned and he gets punished. He doesn't, right? It makes it clear he dies naturally, right? Basha dies naturally. It's his son Elah who gets assassinated, right? From the Jewish people, the Jews' perspective, of course, it's very hard to, right? Nevi'im oversimplify things, right? To educate us in retrospect.
They didn't realize all the troubles is because they didn't go in God's way.
No, because think about it, right? Basha, right? Why would they realize Basha, who followed Yeravam, is king for 20 plus years? Right, God says, "Oh, you're the Navi says, oh, Basha is evil," but 20 years is a decent rule, right? 20 years is pretty decent. Okay, so Elah gets assassinated, but the truth is, think about how naturally you go, to any dictatorship. How many people themselves are powerful kings? Their kids just don't have the same charisma. So when the father dies, he tries to leave it to his son, and the son gets assassinated. Right, happens all the time. Right, the people watching could have had a naturalistic perspective on this whole thing, right? Okay, Elah, and it wasn't, so Elah gets assassinated, and then Zimri gets assassinated, well, doesn't get assassinated, commits suicide, and the military takes over. This is like, I'm saying, you look at Egypt now, that's exactly what happened, right? They had a coup, right? And then the Muslim Brotherhood took over for a little bit, and then the army decided, you know what, we want to go back, right? So they counter-couped, right? But that's exactly what happens here. There's a coup for a week. The army says, one second, right? They turn around from where they are, they come back, surround the city, he gives up. There's not even a fight. He's a representative, just like in Egypt now, right? The army is a representative of two governments ago, right? It's the coup of the coup. Mm-hmm. So the same thing here. Omri is, he may not be from the family of Basha, but from the perspective of the Jews, how it's very hard for them to see God here, because you know what? This is normally what happens, that if there's a coup, sometimes the army just uses an opportunity and takes over. It's not crazy. And really, Zimri They would know that Zimri lost his kingship because he sinned like Yeravam. He was king for a week.
Zimri
they
was
barely
a
know.
King. He was a.
He was a rebel.
He was an.
He was a servant. He managed to get a rebellion for 7 days. Right, big deal. It's like, you know, it's like these. It was like that. What 24-hour rebellion in Turkey? Right, the king, the president, Erdogan flies out of the country. They declare a coup. He flies back. You know, says to his army, quash it. He comes back and he's president again. Like, that's basically Zimri's. It was set all of, right? Okay, so there wasn't planes and it takes longer, but it was 7 days, right? Like, you know, who's going to know that this was, that it was because he was evil? They would just be like, okay, he was pathetic, right? It was a failed coup, right? That's how they perceive it. And what is this? V'yeter divrei Zimri v'kishro asher kashar lo'im k'tuvim al sefer divrei hayamim malchei Yisrael. His rebellion is, his treason is recorded into... in the Divrei Hayamim. And then, if you thought it was chaotic, it gets even worse, because Az Yechaleka Am Yisrael Lachetzi Chatzi Hayam Acharei Tivni Ben Ginat Laham Licho VaChatzi Acharei Amri. Post coup, there were two factions. There was the army who'd quashed the faction, and now the general wanted to take over, who's Omri. But half of them wanted to follow Tavni, who's some other political force, but not the army. Right. So we go from Basho's 21 years, to Elahu's 2 years, to Zimri's 7 days, to Tavni, who doesn't even manage to be king. He just manages to get a faction, and he's killed before he can even become king. Right. So nobody, right? It's, and then, right? Pasuk Chav Gimel.
It was killed. It's
Vayomet, right? Right, meaning right. He died, or either he died. We don't have any reference, right? Now. He's died. He kills soon, but he never becomes king, right? It's he has
king
a faction.
Says, Mitativit.
Okay, so maybe he dies. Right, so that's the thing. It's ambiguous, right? He either becomes king temporarily, who knows? But right, he doesn't even describe how long he's king. Right, the chaos in Israel is palpable. Right, and then. And remember, all of this is during Asa's rule, because the next pasuk is again Bishnat Shloshim V'achat Shana L'Asa Melech Yehuda Malach Omri Al Yisrael Shteim Esrei Shana B'Tirta Malach Sheish Shanim. Then in the 31st year, so Omri becomes king for 12 years, of which 6 are in Tirtza. Vayiken in Ahar Shomron Me'ed Shemar Ba'Kikrim Kasev. Even Ahar Vayikra Shemayir Asher Banal Shem Shemar Adonai Ahar Shomron. Now he builds a new capital, essentially, right? He in the Shomron, right? He makes a new capital, right? He really sort of digs his heels in and makes a right becomes king, and he's worse right now. So far, the political leadership has been going downhill. Now, religious leadership gets worse. Because until now, we noted that with Yeravam, as much as he sinned, it was ambiguous how bad he was. Right? Because it wasn't clear that the Egels were real Avodah Zarah. Right? They might have just been an alternate Bina Mikdash, or it might be some sort of syncretism. But straight Avodah Zarah, there wasn't Malchut Yehuda, but Malchut Yisrael is not clear what he was doing. But then, the kings of Israel, starting with Omri and then his son Ahav, go worse, right? Now the spiritual, right? This politics has been going down. Now the spiritual status of the country plummets. Vayaseh Omri harab enei Adonai vayara mikol asher lefanav. Omri does evil worse than anyone before him. Vayelev chol derech Yeravam ben Nevat uvechatato ashechti Yisrael achiz enei leYisrael bavlehem. He follows everything Yeravam did. Now it doesn't explain what else he does. But we'll find more with Ahav. But he's Yeravam plus. V'yeter divrei Omri asher asa gvurato asher asa Elohim k'tuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. V'yishkav Omri im avotav v'yikaver b'shomron v'yimloch Ahav b'no tachtav. And then we get Ahav. Now Ahav is the worst of the worst. Not Ahav himself, but his wife. Izebel, right, and that's what you get. Achav v'achav ben Omri, malach Yisrael b'shnat 38 shana la'asa melech Yehuda v'imloch achav ben Omri. Again, this is all asa, right? Al Yisrael b'shomron 22 shana v'imloch achav ben Omri al Yisrael b'shomron 22 shana v'yaz achav ben Omri al Rabbein Yehuda. Now we call it Asher lefanav. Achav is even worse than Omri. Vayhi hanakel lechto bechatot Yeravam ben Nevat v'kach yishar Yizevel bat et Baal melech Tzidonim v'yirech v'yavod et Abav yishtachavullo. He takes a non-Jewish wife, right, the princess of the Phoenicians, and serves Baal. Right, now we introduce the main god of the ancient Near East, the Baal, right, the rain god. Vayakam is beach la Baal, beta Baal asher bana b'shamron, and he makes a mizbeach in the temple of Baal in the capital city in Shamron. Vayas achaved asherah. And not only does he have Baal, but he has Asherah, and Asherah is traditionally the consort of Baal because Asherah is the fertility god, right? The fertility god and the rain god are married or whatever. He is worse than everybody before him. Biyamav, and this is how bad it gets, right? The Biyamav banach yel beit ha'eli at Yericho, barivam becharo yisda, uvizkuv tziiro hitziv dlatea. Kedivar adonai asher dibar biyad Yoshua ben Nun. That during his time, not only is there political problems and religious problems, like Avodah Zarah, the curse of Yoshua.
Yericho, whoever gonna build Yericho is killed.
Exactly, right? Yoshua said, I curse anybody who builds Yericho, and when he starts, his first son will die, and then when he finishes, his last child will die. Someone did that, right? From beginning to end. All his kids died. I mean, at this point, they've so rejected God that there's this curse that people know of, and the guy keeps building, even though son after son dies, until every child he has dies, but he still builds Yericho, right? The Pasuk is telling you that this is, right, we've gotten to the worst. And that's why Pasuk Perek Yud Zayin, which we won't do this second, opens a new chapter. Because until now, things were bad. But once it gets this bad, right, there's new Avodah Zarah, and there's this, you know, this rejection of the legacy of Yoshua, right? It's just, everything goes back. You need something to change. And that's why Eliyahu enters the scene, right? Perek Yud Zayin, after 16 prakim of Malachim, right? Now we shift, right? And we meet in the first attempted response, systemic response, which is Eliyahu.
This is the first time he's mentioned.
Eliyahu, yeah. Right? This is, right, Eliyahu, right? And that's why, you know, and the reason he comes now is because it is, right? We have... Right, we are in disaster zone. Right, everything is going wrong, and Eliyahu comes onto the scene to say something has got to change. Right, but yeah, this is where we meet him. Right, in Perek Yud Zayin, and that's really right. That, you know, this is like a turning point in the book, where we just hear about we hear about a sustained sort of religious response. Now, one of the things, a lot of the things I've mentioned here are sort of from Alex Israel here in terms of the two levels, right? That, you know, they're experiencing it politically, but the Navi is giving us the religious perspective and telling us that there's another level to it. He notes, though, that there is a surprising symmetry between Yeravam and Baasha. So, for example, right, they rule almost the same number of years, right? Baasha is 24, Beit Yeravam is 22 years, and Beit Baasha is 24 years. Both of their sons reign for 2 years. In both cases, the king, God tells the king, right, I raised you up, right? Yeravam, he said, I raised you up from among the people. Baasha, he said, I raised you up from the dust. In both cases, God said, and yet, even though I raised you up, you've provoked me to anger, right? Lahachiseini. And both of them, he tells them specifically, because of this, I'll burn your house down. I'll kill everyone in your house. And he tells Baasha, I'll kill everyone in your house, just like I did to Yeravam ben Nevat. And the punishment is therefore the same. And he tells both of them, everyone, your family will die. All the people who are killed in the town will be devoured by dogs. All the people who are in the fields will be devoured by birds. And it happened, right? And the fulfillment, because what it's emphasizing is that even though people are killing Yeravam and killing Baasha because they were evil, they just did the exact same thing, right? I mean, the people who were killing the evil kings were exactly like the evil kings. There was no change, right? Baasha was basically identical to Yeravam, and that's really the problem that happens over and over. Now, the one thing. Now, what we do see, though,
and this is by the fact that Beit HaMikdash was still standing.
And as well, the Beit HaMikdash is still standing. Now, even though we're going to see that Omri and Ahab are evil, what is important to note is that one of the reasons Eliyahu has to becomes important, and this comes back to your point before, is the average Jew has no idea what's going on. Or, like, doesn't understand why this is happening, because Ahab, especially, has a very strong rule. So does Omri. Right? Omri is king for 12 years, and his son takes over. That's already... 12 years is not forever, but it's, you know, he's not killed. He dies naturally after over a decade of rule, and his son takes over, and he built a new capital. So if the average Jew is looking and looking for spiritual explanation for what's going on, he's not going to get it, because Omri and Ahab, who are worse than Baasha and worse than Yerovam, they're the ones who have political stability. So the average person, it's not just they're not going to know what's going on. What conclusion are they going to have? That there's stability because of the Baal. Oh, Ahab is the first really powerful king since Baasha, and he's an heir, he's a second-generation king, and he's successful. They're not going to say, oh, everyone wasn't successful because they followed God. They're going to say, oh, Ahab is pitom, he's successful, must be because the Baal is making him successful. That's part of why Eliyahu becomes so important. And there's that showdown with Baal. It's not just accidental that Eliyahu is going to have a showdown with Baal. It's because there's been political chaos in Israel for generations, and then suddenly there's a stable kingdom, and they're the worst religiously, and they introduce Baal. Everyone's going to look at it and say, I know why there's stability. Because before, we were following whatever. We were following God plus the Agalim, or whatever we were following. Right? Now, the stable king with Baal, Eliyahu comes in and says, you know, something has to happen, because otherwise, everybody is going to think that it's because of the Baal. Now, again, part of this sort of stability that, you know, that is unique is this notion of building the capital. And presumably, as he notes here, the reason is...
Why does God give him so much? I don't read them.
Well, this is the problem. And this is always what the Navi is doing, right? The Navi oversimplifies for you. But if you read between the lines, you'll understand why people didn't do Tshuva.
No, but God punished Yerovam because he built, I don't know, these two, whatever you call it. I'm even not sure if it was Baal or was not Baal. But why does God give him so much power, even though he's an obeyed Baal? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that's really the question, right? That's what the question that you're left with in the book, right? Is why this happens, right? And the Navi comes to tell you it isn't as it looks. But to the average person,
what's our understanding?
Yeah. It's hard.
The people are that are somewhat bad, and the guy who is really bad is successful.
Yeah, and you know, he notes here that one of the reasons you would pick... it's not just like Stam, he makes a new capital. Tirtz is off the beaten track. Shomron is a central city. I mean, he's really successful. He builds things up. The Dot Mikra points out that that it's not just like, you know... Like, Omri even does it the right way. Like, we'll see, Ahab is terrible, right? Ahab, when he wants things, he kills people, right? He wants the possessions of Naval HaKarmeli, so he kills him. You know, he has him killed. But, like, Omri, to the average person, not only is he strengthening it, he pays for it in full, just like David does with Aravna Yavusi. And he pays for Shomron. It sounds like he is a legitimate, you know... leader. And again, all this is despite the fact that there is this religious low. So we sort of just skimmed Ahab, but we'll come back next time to Ahab, because we really have to analyze his kingdom and Eliyahu's interaction with it. That's really the problem with Malachim, is that the Navi oversimplifies it to highlight the religious message, but if you were living through it, or you would not experience it the way they're experiencing it, you would be totally confused unless you were looking for the divine message here, which they weren't. Right? That's clear. Right? That's why you need a Navi. Right? That's what Eliyahu is trying to do, is make a big miracle and say, you know, everybody, you don't understand what's going on.
It's not the famous Kriecht.
Yeah, but that's what we'll get to. We'll come back to Ahab and Eliyahu in next week, and that takes, you know, Eliyahu takes you for quite a few. The Ahab Eliyahu stories take you for quite a few few prakim here.